وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his rahmah and blessings on you, Hazrat Mawlana. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وبالوالدين إحسانا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, today we bring you a story about the love of a mother for her children. So after having reached the heights of his career, there was a man who felt his duty to repay his mother back for all that she had done for him. So he asked, "Mother, what can I give you? What can I do for you? I sincerely wish to repay you for the sacrifices you have made for me and for all the love you have showered upon me." So the mother looked surprised and she said, "Why do you think about it? It was my duty, so I did it. You don't have to repay me. Even if you want to, there is no way a man can ever repay his mother." So despite her continuous refusal to ask for anything, the son kept on persisting. So to put an end to the discussion, she said, "All right, if you must, then tonight you sleep on my bed with me, just as you used to when you were a baby." Now imagine what the strategy this mother used. And she told her son, who's grown up, "Come sleep on my bed." So he said, "That's a strange thing to ask for, but mom, if it pleases you, I will." So as soon as he fell asleep, the mother got up and brought a bucket of water. So she poured a mug full of water on his side. Feeling disturbed by the wetness under him, in his sleep he moved away to the other side of the bed. As he settled down, his mother poured another mug of water on the other side. So in his slumber, he tried to find space towards the footpost of the bed. And his mother was speaking also during this particular process. So that couldn't let him fall asleep. So sometime later, he woke up feeling that this part of the bed too was damp. He got up and saw his mother. She had a mug in her hand. And he asked angrily, "What are you doing, mother? Why don't you just let me sleep? How do you expect me to sleep on a wet bed?" So the mother said, "I slept with you when you used to wet the bed in the night. I would change your diaper and move you to the dry part of the bed while I slept on the wet side. You wanted to repay me. Can you sleep here even for one night with me on a damp bed? If you can, I'll take it that you have repaid me." So this boy had no patience whatsoever. And our mothers, you know, in the middle of the night we cry as babies and we are sick, and they will stay up the entire night just for our comfort, and that is something we can never ever repay. It is mentioned that if you can even take one drop of milk and put it back into the breast of your mother, if that was possible, which is impossible, you will never be able to fulfill her haq and her rights in any way whatsoever. So paradise lies under the feet of our mothers, and that is why we must take the opportunity of respecting our mothers and our fathers and showing them all the kindness that we can for all the sacrifices that they had done for us. There's another story here of a group of students who are highly established in their career now. You know, they graduated at university, so they got together to visit their old university lecturer. So the conversation soon turned into complaints about stress in work and life. That was the main part of the conversation. So offering his guest coffee, the lecturer went to the kitchen and returned with a large pot of coffee and an assortment of cups. Porcelain cups, plastic cups, glass ones, some plain looking, and some expensive and exquisite ones, telling them to help themselves to hot coffee. So when all the students had a cup of coffee in their hands, and the lecturer said, "If you noticed, all the nice looking, expensive cups were taken up, leaving behind the plain and cheap ones. While it is but normal for you to want only the best for yourselves, that is the source of your problem and stress. Because we just want the best for ourselves. We don't bother about anybody else. What all of you really wanted was coffee, not the cup. In other words, the contents of the cup were more important, but we got intrigued and carried away by the cups. But you consciously went for better cups and are eyeing each other's cups. Now, if life is coffee, then the jobs, money, and position in society are the cups. They are just tools to hold and contain life. But the quality of life doesn't change. Sometimes, by concentrating only on the cup, we fail to enjoy the coffee in it. So don't let the cups drive you. Enjoy the coffee inside the cups instead." So this is a very, very, very lovely story that gives us, you know, a hint as to how we need to conduct ourselves. Today you will find that people wouldn't want to do anything for somebody else until there is some financial gain in it. And you know, they will give that priority and humanity is lost. So it could be very, very nice if we concentrate, you know, on humanity and the things that bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the material things of this world. Now, inshallah, Aziz will be sharing another story with you. And this one here is about Nasruddin. And we spoke about him recently, you know, a very intelligent person, but jovial and jokey as well. So this one is regarding a slap. So Nasruddin was standing in the marketplace when a stranger came up to him and slapped him in the face. But then he said, "I beg your pardon. I thought that you were someone else." So this explanation did not satisfy Nasrullah. So he brought the stranger before the Qadi and demanded compensation. So now Nasrullah perceived that the Qazi and the defendant were friends. So the stranger admitted his guilt and the judge announced the sentence. But now he's giving the sentence in favor of his friend. So the settlement of this offense is 1 paisa. Now if anybody who's traveled to India, they know that a rupee consists of 100 paisas. So 1/100th. You know, of a rupee, it's 1 paisa. You know, the settlement was, must be paid to the plaintiff, the complainant. So if you do not have a paisa with you, then you may bring it here to the plaintiff at your convenience. So hearing this sentence, the defendant went on his way. So Nasrullah waited for him to return with the paisa, that one coin. You know, that's 1/100th of a rupee. And he waited, and he waited, and he waited. So sometime later, Nasrullah said to the Qazi, "Do I understand correctly that 1 paisa is sufficient payment for a slap?" Now hear this, what happens. The Qazi said yes. I mean, he gave a ruling in favor of his friend, and that is why he just said it's one paisa. So when the Qazi answered that yes, is a sufficient payment for a slap. So Nasrullah slapped the Qazi and gave him a nice tight one on his cheeks. And then what he told him, he says, oh well, if that one paisa is sufficient payment for a slap, you may keep my paisa when the defendant returns with it and walks away. Can you imagine how wise Nasrullah was this, was with this Qazi, and he gave him back exactly what he thought, you know, he will do in favor of his friends, the judgment. But there's a lesson in here that, you know, that mu'min, in the Quran Sharif, there's an ayat also, you know, that even if it's between your parents, you know, there's a matter, you will always rule with justice. You know, وَأَن تَعْدِلُوا, you know, that you will always come with justice. So there's no way of favoring somebody in any way whatsoever. So there's another story about Nasruddin. He used to stand in the streets of a market to be pointed out as an idiot. So no matter how often people, you know, they offered him a large and a small coin. They came to him, you know, they offered him a large coin and a small coin. He always chose the smaller one. So one day a kind man said to him, Nasruddin, you should take the bigger coin, then you will have more money, and people will no longer be able to make a laughing stock of you. Now listen to Nasruddin's reply. He says, that may be true, but I always take the larger one. People will stop offering me money to prove that I am more idiotic than they are. Then I will have more money. So he has taken a bigger coin to show his wisdom and his intelligence. Ah, they wouldn't put him through the trial again. But now every time they want to say how stupid he is, that everybody is saying, we offer him a big coin and we offer him a small coin. And he takes the smaller coin. He definitely is an idiot and a fool. But every time he was getting these smaller coins, and as the days were going past, it was more valuable than the bigger coin. So don't look at little things in life. You know, they all add up. You know, qatra qatra darya mi shawad. Every drop becomes the ocean. So here Nasruddin actually displayed his intelligence to the people. There's another interesting story of an old woman. She lived next door to an atheist. So every day she stood on her front porch and she cried out, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, O Allah, Tabarak wa Ta'ala, I believe in you. And the atheist would look out his window and say, there is no Allah, there is no God, you're wasting your time, old woman. She would walk away from that argument. It went on for several years. So one day she came out and she cried. She said, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, O Allah, Tabarak wa Ta'ala, I have no money for food this week, but I believe in you. I know you'll give me my provisions. So upon hearing this, the atheist made an evil plan. The next day, the woman found four large bags of groceries on the front porch. So she took them inside and came out again and cried out, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, O my Allah, I had no money for food this week, but I believed in you, and you answered my prayers. Allahu Akbar. So the atheist was hiding behind some bushes. He jumped and he said, Aha, Allah Ta'ala didn't put those groceries there. I did. That proves there's no Allah. So the woman said, Alhamdulillah, O Allah, I truly believe in you. Not only did you give me my provisions for the week, but you made the shaitan pay for it. Oh, what a lovely anecdote that is. So, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Although we must also exercise effort on our side, but you put your tawakkul in Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq in the hidayah to make amal. Ameen. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.